Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be together again. It's a special time of the week to be together as believers and a church family, to think of looking into His Word. And Mel said something about the reason for being here. And I hope that we have that desire to fellowship and to worship God and to get to know Him better, be challenged, or whatever God has for us each Sunday morning. But it is a blessing to be together, and we pray for other people in the world, around the world, that are not experiencing the peaceful setting that we have, and this is a great opportunity that we have to grow again this morning. I'm excited about being here, and I hope that you can glean something from the sermon that would be enriching in your life, that it would be a 30 minutes well spent together. And but most of all, that our hearts are open to what God has. If we are willing to open our hearts, God will put something in. Maybe not exactly our prayer or answer to our prayer, but it seems that there's some things that God expects us to do in life, and one of those is to open our hearts. And I think all of us here, as we think of going through our Christian life, all of us want to be successful, just like you want to be. Hopefully you want to be successful at whatever your calling is in life, whether it's a truck driver or motherhood or whatever it is, that you have a concern for what's going on, and that you're looking forward to take in new ingredients or nuggets of things for your Christian life, just the same as you would study a book to improve in business life or improve in our callings, whatever that is. So success this morning is outlined in 2 Peter chapter 1. You can turn to that. This is a real man's sermon with points that you can put to practice. And ladies, I guess you have to listen too, but it's not just men's things, but the outline of the situation here, the sermon this morning, is simply my favorite way of doing it. And you probably have noticed that many times already, but I like to have things that I can leave here and I can say, well, there's seven things that preacher said this morning, and I think there's two of them that he meant me. And hopefully that's how we'll leave this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read some of it, the first 15 verses, but just look at verses 9 and 10 here, 8, 9, and 10 this morning first. These things that I have written here, these four points, I want to get out of these three verses. Without cheating, don't go to the rest of the chapter. Just let's focus on what is being said. What is God saying through Peter to you and I this morning in these three verses? It says that if these things be in you and abound. Okay, so now before we get to these points, I'm stepping in the middle, coming in the middle here, and we don't know what these things are unless you looked. It says, if these things be in you, we'll get to that in a little bit. If these things be in you and abound, in other words, if there's something that we're going to look at just in a minute, if that's in you and it abounds, in other words, you're putting it to practice. It's not just in you. We can look at the scripture and open the scripture every morning and call it devotions and look at it. But the idea of taking it in and abounding with that, or allowing it to make a difference in our life, that's what we should be doing with the Word of God. Making it abound. And so I like to abound, but my bounding, if you think of running around, is not the same as it used to be. But we want to, in a spiritual sense, we want to abound. That should be our goal. So here it goes. The first thing is listed here. If these things abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that's outlined here is that we're going to be fruitful. And I think, like success, everybody wants to be fruitful. You want to do what God has asked you to do during the day or whatever the thing is that comes to your mind. But we want to be fruitful. We want to produce fruit. You can maybe use the analogy of, we were at Mike and Sue last night and Hunter for supper, and they talked about a apple tree that abounded in fruit, and they made applesauce and gave us some. And so that's a bountiful harvest of something that's fruitful. You could go in my basement, and I have a tank full of tilapia in there, and I like when they're fruitful and abounding with young ones. That's a little bit, I don't want to get into that too much in a human sense here, but it is a blessing to see them being fruitful. And so all of a sudden I come down one morning and I'm hoping that this happens. I have very little to do with it except changing water temperatures and making sure some of the other levels are okay. And then all of a sudden coming out in the morning, there's maybe 100 or 300 babies in the water. And so that's being fruitful. And I think that all of us want to be fruitful. And we should have that desire. Well, then it goes on here in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, again, we didn't touch on these things yet, but we'll get to that. If you lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And so we don't, if we lack what we're going to be looking at in this rest of this sermon, if we lack those things, we're going to go blind. And the opposite of blindness here this morning is discernment. We all want discernment. When we face something, you know, it's really nice to have the Word of God fresh in our hearts and the idea that I can really make a wise decision in a right or wrong situation. I have discernment. You know, we want discernment. We should want discernment, spiritual discernment. The last part, if we're blind, we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. I have that listed as assurance of salvation that needs to be touched on. But if we are blind in discernment, we will not be able to discern what the Scripture says about salvation. And it leads to a doubtful experience of salvation instead of assurance. Then in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so this is almost like, okay, I said this is a man's sermon. These are things, if we practice this, this is the result. So then we want to go on to what I'm going to say next. But we want to be fruitful. And it's like, to me, when I read this, and what Peter's telling us is that this is like a guarantee. If the things that we are going to look at, if these things be in you, and if you do these things, is what I read in verse 10, if you do these things, this is the result. Does anybody of us lack some of this, or do we have a desire for more of this? I'm going to give you the answer, or Peter's going to give you the answer. That's the exciting part. I don't think that's hard for me to look at those and say, well, that's obvious that we can always be challenged in a new way to be more fruitful or be more interested in Scripture so that we can have spiritual discernment and be careful that we're not blind, going blind. I guess as people get older, we see less clearly. Sometimes we have cataracts in our eyes. We've got to get that removed and so forth. It's degenerating. In other words, as we get older, it gets worse and worse. And what we don't want that to happen is in our spiritual life that we go blind. We don't want cataracts in our spiritual sense. So it's a challenge to be awake and doing what God wants us to do in the idea of discernment. And as far as assurance of salvation, I believe that subject there can be very crippling in our Christian life, that we need to realize again that if we have spiritual discernment, we will need to have our decisions and our discernment backed up by Scripture. And if you're talking about assurance of salvation, we don't go on the side of the ditch of unconditional assurance of salvation, but it's conditional. But the Bible says that we can have assurance. That's not me or Peter coming up with a wild idea. This is 1 John chapter 5. You can read them, 13 to 15 or more of those verses. This, that you may know that you have salvation and that you may know that you're saved. It's an assurance that's there. And so with spiritual discernment and the idea of desiring more discernment, we can look at the Scripture. And what does the Bible say? It's not what I feel. It's not what the devil's trying to put in my mind. It's what the Bible says on subjects. And the only way that we can come up to with that certainty is to pray and have a desire to have discernment. And we need to be reminded of that. Well, the last guarantee there is that you will not fall. Well, we can stumble. I think the Bible says in Proverbs about somebody stumbling and getting up seven times or whatever it says. Well, that doesn't say falling, as in failure or as in staying down. Stumbling is a person that gets up again. And so many of us have stumbled. We stumble. We make mistakes. It's all around us. But what we're going to look at here is there's seven things listed here that, to me, I don't think I'm stretching it, but it's a guarantee. Now, we like guarantees. Is this thing 100% guaranteed? We ask the guy that's trying to sell us something. Are you saying this is guaranteed? I can just bring it back. You can bring a Zippo lighter back that the caterpillar has run over it, and they give you a new one. Is that a guarantee? That is a guarantee. 100% guaranteed. And so what I like to think of this morning is these, starting in verse 5. Well, I want to read the first 15 verses here, first of all, but verse 5 is where we want to start at then. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, so now I read them. Right, that's where I started. In verse 8 is where I started. If these things, is what those, there's seven things listed there. And if that's what we, if that's the person we are, and we're being successful, that's the these things that he's talking about. We'll go over that. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I'm saying this to you all, the congregation here, these next verses, I preached this here before, but you don't remember it because it's a long time ago. But I probably, Lord willing, if he gives me a couple more years of preaching, I'll probably preach it again because of what's coming next. It says here, Peter saying, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. We're still going back to these things. So Peter is not embarrassed to go back and repeat this. Second letter of Peter. He is bringing to remembrance things that are necessary. And so he's not embarrassed to say that I will not be negligent to always put in remembrance these things, though you know them. This congregation knows what I'm going to say next. We know what's going on. We know what we are to be people of virtue and so forth. He's not embarrassed to say that and repeat it. And he wants them to be established in this truth, in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So that's my heart. That's my goal. I'm only preaching here 34 years, or 30 years, whatever it is, and that's my goal. I want you to remember what these things are. We start back in verse 5. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so virtue is talking about moral uprightness, holiness. In a literal sense, it simply means excellent living. Excellent is something that's above average, right? It's not just normal life. We are to have an excellent life. And I believe that God is saying, if we're serious about our life, whether it's the physical morally that comes to our mind, that we be pure in that sense, but mentally, in our minds, in our heads, where's my thinking during the day? Where is it going? And am I trying to replace the maybe carnal things that come to mind? Am I even trying to replace it? Well, I think when you look at verse 10 and it says, if you do these things, and then back when we said, if these things be in you and abound, you know, if this is part of us and we're trying to do better at this, at virtue, I think God is saying that you can claim these promises. You can claim this as your own. That this is success. This is one of the things that I believe gives us success. It must be maintained. It must be something that we're attempting to do. It's the virtue that's given here, this moral excellence or excellent holy living, excellent living, is something that we need to work on. When we're successful, it's guaranteed. This is guaranteed. It goes on then, it talks about knowledge next. It says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. As we, again, read the scripture, we're looking at the understanding the truth and how to live it, how to apply it. What does this mean to me today as I go about my daily duties? Things that we need to live out. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, that the word of study to show the self approved unto God. In other words, there's something that's given to us that we are told to look at the scripture. We're told, study the word. It's just not opening it up and having it laying open there on the table during the day, and it's expected to take hold of us. But the Bible is clear that we are to study the scripture, get the knowledge and understanding of what God wants us to do. The second thing that when we study the scripture, Joyce mentioned about this little Bennett. Bennett, he's got a problem. He was born premature, and he does not know how to suck very well, and so that's a part of the development. And so the Bible also talks about as a baby desires the sincere milk of the word. In other words, the verses of studying to show ourselves approved unto God go together with that. When we study to show ourselves approved unto God, that's just like that Bennett taking in that milk and giving him strength. It's that desire. Do we have the desire to grow and to have knowledge of God? Is it something that is in us? Do we have that desire? Do we thirst after righteousness? So I believe that when we apply this and actually look into God's word to take it in as nourishment, we can claim this as a guarantee. The next thing that goes on here, it says temperance simply means self-control, not necessarily doing always what I want, but doing what God wants. What does God want me to do in life? And so we often can excuse ourselves with one way or another, but we realize that everybody is tempted. Everybody has things that Satan is trying to destroy you, and he's trying to distract you, and whatever words we use there to describe Satan's work. But when we have a interest in temperance or self-control, I believe we can overcome our temptations, because that's what the Bible says. We can overcome that. If we have self-control, I believe we can claim these four things as a promise. The next thing that goes on, verse 6, is about after temperance is patience. The other word for patience there in some of the other versions is endurance. And so if we have this patient, does it go together? I'm not sure that it does, but I think of patient endurance. I hope that's a proper English way of saying that. But patience, a person that has patience or endurance is not easily moved. We're oftentimes, I think the scripture says, we're walking the walk that God wants us to walk instead of the rushing and running that comes to our mind with our lifestyle today. It's more a patient endurance. We're looking to make it to the end. And the person that has this patient endurance, to me, looks like a person with stability. And a person with stability is not easy moved from the left to the right with every wind of doctrine that comes along. We're faced with all kinds of things today. And so the person that has patient endurance will not easily be led astray and not easily be knocked down by Satan's ways of doing things, and he can claim these things. And verse 6 also talks about then, patience and godliness. It's walking in the view of God's greatness. I believe when we have an attitude of that, if godliness would explain us or me, it's a person that is actually putting me in the proper perspective compared to God. Remember that video we watched one time here, I think it was a couple years ago, where they compared the size of the heavens and the size of the earth and then size of humans on the earth. And it was just that little speck. You can hardly see the speck without my binoculars. That's us. And so when we keep this in perspective of the greatness of God beyond our understanding, it surpasses us. And that's a person that is, that I believe is described here as God in us. Person that has God in his proper place and man in his, or self maybe, in his proper place. Then it goes on, it says in verse 7, it says, and we're supposed to add to all this, we're going to add godliness with brotherly kindness. The Greek word there, if I understand our Strong's, I guess it is something to do with this word Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, you know that means brotherly love. It's a term that we don't quite parallel that with the city of Philadelphia anymore, especially not North Philly. I drove truck through there many years ago, and it was not a place of brotherly love anymore, I would say. And so, but nevertheless, as it applies to us today, the second commandment is love each other like we do ourselves. And if that is lost, of course, we can't claim this. So it's a challenge to be a person or a congregation that practices brotherly love. But it is an ingredient I think is needed to be successful in our Christian life, or to be able to claim this, that we will in the end not even fall if we have brotherly kindness to each other. Then the last one is charity or love. This is more the other word for love, is more like agape, the love that Christ had for us, for dying for us while we were yet sinners. And so it's something that's self-sacrificing to each other. It's never ending. It's uncompromising love. All that is shown in a perfect sense, not in a human sense, but in a perfect sense by Jesus Christ himself. And so I hope you can look at these things here in the scripture and realize, well, they're not just words. They're not just words, but if we actually are seriously looking at this and want to practice it, it's a guarantee that this will happen in your life. You can have those things. Who wants to be spiritual? Who wants to be fruitful? Well, I think all of us would raise our hand. We want to be fruitful. There is ingredients given here for that to be accomplished. Is it hard? Is it just for some spiritual Pauls or Peters, or is that who it's for? I think it's not. Not only for them. I think it's for all of us. And we have the same spirit in us that Paul and Peter had, the Holy Spirit, that guided and directed them. And we can also accomplish that. And I hope as we look, there's seven things, by the way, that I talked about. I could have written them down on the board. But there's seven things there. And we don't have to leave here and say, well, that one is just really bad. I'm not really successful at all in that. Well, take that as a challenge from the Holy Spirit to be able to recognize that, wait, I might have some improvement to do. I'm not too old to improve. And so that's what I believe this portion of Scripture is for. Will you be challenged by those seven things? If we can... And I don't think Christ is looking for perfection, but he's looking at somebody that has an interest learning more about the God's word and learning more what virtue means and what knowledge of God, the word of God means. All those things are going to be, all those things need attention, and they take some effort. Are you interested? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we just want to thank you for this portion of Scripture here. I pray this morning, Lord, that we could be challenged to look into the Word and allow it to make a difference in our life. Help us to be faithful in reading your Word and trying and attempting to understand what it says, trying to be the kind of person that you want us to be. Just bless each one for being here this morning. Bless the word, and pray that we could Take from it what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a